We have the great pleasure on 93.3 WMMR of the company of Chris Cornell. The new Soundgarden album will be out in October, the first since 1996. And there is a single which is also going to be on the record and is on the Avengers soundtrack called Live to Rise. Greetings, Chris. Welcome.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you as always. I haven't had a chance to speak with you in interview form. I did see the Soundgarden tour when it came through last summer here in Philly, and it was sort of the re-entry tour, if you will. And so in interview form, I haven't had a chance to actually ask you about the origins of the reunion. Can you give us a brief overview of how that took place?
Well, it started with a series of emails and then meetings about what we could do as a band to kind of service the legacy of the band and just kind of take control and responsibility for trying to get our music out there for people to hear and just stay on the radar. We felt like we contributed something pretty important to the history of rock music musically, and how do we sort of stay out there and get new rock fans to listen to what we had done. That included a lot of things that were entirely neglected by management or our record company, who owned all of our masters. Nobody seemed to really care about any of it. So it included getting a website going again, starting our fan club up again, doing some reissues. We put out a live album from a tour. We forgot that any of that even existed. We've just found some tapes from a tour we did in 96, so we put that out, created some merch, so you know, if somebody wants to buy a Soundgarden t-shirt, they can, because you know, none of that stuff was available. The business of Soundgarden had been entirely neglected, and I guess we had all come to the conclusion that it was our responsibility because nobody else was going to care. And that's what got it started, and then everything else just kind of ran its course.
After the show last year, when I chatted with you briefly, you had mentioned that in terms of your solo touring career, which has also had started up, you mentioned that Philly was kind of a turning point when you played the Keswick Theater here in your solo show Evolution, in that you felt a new comfort level when you hit the stage in this town.
Well, I think that was the first time that it seemed to reveal itself to me of at least a jumping off point of what it was going to be. Because the only times I had really done it were kind of one-offs. They were just one-offs that I would over-prepare for, sort of, just in terms of rehearsals and not being sure if 2+ hours of me playing songs on an acoustic guitar was really going to hold an audience or what it was going to mean or what it even was. And that show in particular seemed to, you know, it was the audience, it was the room. It was just, I think, finally being relaxed enough, being able to just sit and in that type of environment with that intimacy and just feel for the first time kind of truly at home. And that was probably the fifth or the sixth show of the tour. But the idea for me was to stop doing one-offs and just, you know, I'm only going to really get it if I go out and do like a 30-show tour, and then when I come back home from it, I'll know what it is now. And that show in Philly was number 5, I think. And that's how many days it took me. It didn't take me 30. but yeah, I'll never forget that show because of that.
That's cool.
Now it's something that I really look forward to doing, to be able to play songbook tours, songbook events. It's really turned into something that I love to do.
That's great.
Feel very lucky to be able to do it.
We're speaking with Chris Cornell here on 93.3 WMMR. Back to Live to Rise, you had said that linking with the Avengers was kind of a simple decision, although you're not a comic geek. Chris Cornell is not, but Kim Thayil is. And you said in one quote I read that he's somebody who knows every detail of every character, when they were conceived, and what metamorphosis they went through.
Yeah, he also knows that about things that aren't comic book related.
Really? Okay.
He knows a lot of things about a lot of stuff. Huh. That's one little subgenre of thought for Kim. but you don't need to be a comic book geek to get into this film or the genre of filmmaking, really. I've been a fan of the genre for a while. I think my first recollection of it being a genre was probably RoboCop, where I felt like, okay, this is very comic bookish. It's kind of this superhero with a strange backstory of coming into existence. It was sort of futuristic. It was somewhat violent. You know, it asked some dark questions, which is indicative of a lot of good comic book characters, and it was a very entertaining film. And walking away from that, I felt like, oh, this is the first film of its kind. And I felt like the Iron Man movies were great, and that's where I got my inspiration to want to be involved in it, is that I felt like they were great films, and I felt like, particularly Iron Man 2, where there was a lot of AC/DC placed in it,
right,
that I feel like Soundgarden could totally live authentically in a film like that, and it wouldn't be stupid or weird.
But you also said it had to be a Soundgarden song. It had to be a group effort.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no way that we're going to create a Soundgarden song that's written for a film specifically, and it's kind of like including lyrics that mirror the dialogue or the storyline or anything like that. It has to be a Soundgarden song, and then once that Soundgarden song is finished, then it hopefully can coexist with the film. That wasn't that easy to do, because that was difficult, and I came up with a lot of ideas that ended up, I felt like didn't work, but would be great Soundgarden songs. But, it was kind of challenging. I think though, any time that collaboration between a songwriter and a film is difficult. It's a different situation every single time. It's different people every single time, and the song and the music kind of has to do a different job pretty much every time, if you even know what that is, too.
Right.
So it's kind of challenging. It's not the easiest thing. If I wrote a song for a solo record, for example, pretty much anything I conceive is valid because it's my solo record. It's me. It's about me. It doesn't really. So if it comes out of my brain or pours out of my creativity, it's valid. If it's a Soundgarden album, that changes a little bit because it has to include the personalities of the other three members, their sensibilities. It has to include their musical tastes and their impression of what Soundgarden means musically. In all of those cases, that kind of has to live, as well as it has to fit in with my perception of what Soundgarden means musically. And then when you add a film on top of that, it further kind of complicates matters. You know, my concern first is that Soundgarden is Soundgarden.
Right.
So it was a challenge.
Well, you have to be thrilled because it got 150,000 downloads in its first day. You released it on iTunes for free in its first week. So that speaks, I think, to the viability and love people still have for this band.
Yeah. You know what? It turned out to be a really cool thing to be able to be involved in. And the timing was really great because our record's finished and it's going to come out in the fall. And
do you have a title for the album yet, by the way?
No, we don't. That's going to be the last thing, I suppose, that we do.
Huh.
Usually the title kind of pops up in the somewhere in the process of writing. And, you know, because we're together as a band inside the studio and rehearsing a lot, and somebody will throw something out there. And if it doesn't happen that way, it will happen sort of at the last minute because we have to do it. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
You've said that this song, Live to Rise, doesn't actually sound like some of the other songs that are completed for the record. Is that correct?
Well, really, in the record, I don't think you can take any single song out of context of the record and hold that up and say the record sounds like this, you know. And nor could you have done that for any other Soundgarden record, really. So, no, Live to Rise is not an example of a new sound, nor is any other song.
Right.
You know, we have new moments, but it doesn't describe the whole record. I mean, my example is, two of our singles were Jesus Christ Pose and Black Hole Sun.
Right. So. You've said regarding Soundgarden that all of our songs are just characters on Sesame Street. You said that in one interview, and I just got the greatest kick out of that. Can you describe what you mean by that?
Well, there's diversity, and there's a lot of color, and it's somewhat unpredictable. And when I say unpredictable, too, I don't mean just from the standpoint of, you know, what is the audience going to hear, you know, and that we're kind of in a room trying to create that. It's unpredictable in terms of us receiving it and us perceiving it. come around the next corner. And especially with so many different relationships creatively, where you actually have a band where every single member contributes music and everyone is multi-instrumental and everyone even has the ability, if they want, to contribute lyrics. That creates a lot of different writing partnerships and a lot of different musical attitudes and feels and musical predispositions that ultimately create entirely unpredictable moments and feels musically, and you never really know what it's going to be. And I think that's what's so super exciting about making Soundgarden music and writing new albums is you never get the feeling that it's business as usual ever.
That's great.
It's just always, you know, from song to song, a new opportunity to create something cool and interesting that I've never done before.
One last thing. I know you have to get going, but I got a great call after the James Bond Casino Royale song that you had created called You Know My Name. People request it all
yes,
the time.
Of course.
It's a guy called in asking for You Know My Name, and this is how the call went.
MMR, good day.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Not bad. I'd like to make a request for a Chris Cornell song.
Okay, what'd you have in mind?
You know the song that they played from Casino Royale, the James Bond?
Oh, You Know My Name, right.
Pierre?
You Know My Name, correct?
Yes, Pierre Robert.
Yes.
I know, well, I listen to you every day.
No, that's the name of the song.
The name of the song. No, I have no clue the name of the song. I'm sorry.
No, that's the name of the... I wasn't asking you if you knew me. I was asking you if you knew the name of the song.
The song? No, I don't know. It's from the Casino Royale.
No, it's called You Know My Name. Who's on third? It's called You Know My Name.
I know your name. I don't know the name of the song, though. I'm
the song is called You... Never mind. What is your name?
My name's Chris.
Chris, all right, Chris. Have a great day, and thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And the song is called You Know My Name.
You Know My... Oh, that's the name of the song.
Now we're cooking with gas.
That's right.
Have a great day, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Did you hear all that?
That was amazing. That was almost scripted.
You could not plan a call like that. You just could not plan
that's
a call.
That's so
like
funny.
And it's so
fantastic.
It's so precious that people keep requesting it over and over and over again. So I just wanted you to get a chance to hear it because I haven't had a chance to do an interview with you in quite a while. So one final question. Will Soundgarden tour after the album is released?
Yeah, for sure. We're going to do a tour to support the record and go out and play the new songs.
Cool. Well, Chris, thank you. And your name is Chris Cornell. My name is Pierre Robert. And thank you for spending some time with us here on WMMR.
All right. Thank you very much.
I wish you all the best. Take care.